are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Oui.
Hello and welcome back into the Fundamentalist Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session. I'm your host, Dual Guest, joined by Richard Donahue. And on this episode, we have reviews for Judas Priest's Invincible Shield, Lord Dying's Clandestine Transcendence, as well as the latest album from Traveler, Prequel to Madness. We'll also be telling you what we've been listening to, as well as giving you some show reports from some bands we were lucky enough to see live here recently. All this and more on the Fundamentalist Podcast. Richard, thank you for joining. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. This fine St. Patty's Day. So it's a home of a couple of brews. And Boston's pure chaos right now, green and puke. And it's all you, buddy. I think it was chill here.
Well, outside of a little extra green, I feel like that's pretty normal for Boston. Just another weekend day.
True.
Many recovering from their hangover, some in the process of earning another one.
I believe they call that a benda where I'm from.
All right. Enough about alcoholism and Bostonians. Let's talk about what we've been listening to. Richard.
Kind of been a little all over the place this week. Been listening to a little bit of Candle Mass, Nightfall, Dark of the Veils of Death, At Gallows End, which is probably my favorite song off Nightfall. And I did kind of listen to about half of the new Borknagar record, which I did enjoy. I don't like it as much as her last record, North, but it's pretty cool. Definitely worth a listen if you're into kind of folky, progressive type metal. And I actually went back and listened to an album that I tried to listen to 2 years ago. I just wasn't hitting it when I was initially getting into the old school Finnish death metal, North From Here. A lot of people consider it one of the first melodic death metal records, along with a Carcass Heartwork. And at the time, I liked it, but you know, I just wanted like the dirgy, sludgy, evil, raw Finnish shit. So it was like Radio Disney, as a buddy of mine put it. But 2 years later, you know, now I'm kind of out of that mindset. It's really fucking awesome. Like, it's definitely one of the records that it's not overrated. It definitely still holds up. And but I recommend to any fan of like actually like dark, heavy, melodic death metal, as well as, you know, records I love. Black Sabbath Mob Rule is my favorite Sabbath record. Insomnium's Across the Dark, my favorite Insomnium record. And I listened a little Opeth. Blackwater Park recently turned 23, so I listened to The Funeral Portrait and the title track, which are two favorite songs off of that progressive death metal masterpiece. What about yourself?
So there's going to be a new Keck the Rock coming out this year. And so I was listening to his modern black metal masterpiece, Pale Swordsman, a lot here the last few weeks. Really killer shit. Probably listened to the record the whole way through about four times just in the last 2 weeks alone. A really great primer for the new material. Also just sets the expectations sky high for the next record. So hopefully it lives up to it. I saw there's a new single out that I need to listen to. So I'll definitely be checking that out. I also was listening to some Pentagram, their record Last Days Here or First Days Here. It's the 2016 reissue and like remaster that they have on Spotify.
Yeah, it's like a greatest hits type thing.
Yeah, I need to find the original pressing of that record or the original recordings there just to see if they're any different. I mean, tracks like Be Forewarned and Forever My Queen are, you know, classics of the Pentagram catalog, and it's gives me goosebumps every time I hear those songs. Just classics. Maybe the two best things they've ever done by a country mile, but worth going back and listening to. Yeah.
Okay, if you have a Day of Reckoning, it's a great record. Great Pentagram record. I'll listen to that one. Great shit.
Somewhat in the same vein, I was also listening to Black Sabbath's classic Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, starting off with the opening title track, as well as National Acrobat number 2, just a great 1-2 punch. And man, just Prime Sabbath just puts you in the mood. Just there's a reason they're one of the all-time greats. They're the band, the heavy metal band, and there's fucking damn good reason for that because they're fucking amazing. Not quite metal, but I was listening to the latest release from Amigo the Devil, Yours Until the World Is Over. Kind of like dark, gothic country slash indie rock put together. A lot of stuff about murder, macabre, the occult. The song Once Upon a Time at a Texaco about a gas station robbery gone awry is a pretty it's a nice highlight on this latest record. But I've been a big fan of this guy for a little while. His live shows are a lot of fun. And if you want a mild palate cleanse from heavy metal, then I think Amiga the Devil, you could do a lot worse than. That's what I've been listening to. Richard, you've also got a chance to see a pretty cool show here recently, did you not?
Yes, this past Sunday, the Decibel Tour 2024. Necrofire opened up. It was the second time seeing them. I saw them first at MDF Sunday, and I was literally at that point dead and literally slathering on sunscreen as they're fucking playing. And the lead guitarist was a little stiff, but I did enjoy the performance. But this time, you know, he was definitely more lively moving around, which is a nice improvement. And it was just, I could really enjoy it fully instead of being just completely dead after partying for fucking 5 days straight. And so they killed it. I actually got them to sign their two records and their demo. Minus the bassman, I couldn't get him, but I got Christian, who's the organizer of Hell's Heroes, which at best I hope to go to one day, and other great projects. And after that, finally, after 5 years, I finally got to see motherfucking Worm, and it was everything I fucking expected and more. Unfortunately, very criminally short set list, 35 minutes. So they played two off of their modern masterpiece, Feverglade, and they played two off of one from The Split. They just did Dream Unending, and one from the Blue Nothing mini CD. And a really awesome Phil Togus solos, Kill Live, great tone. Phantom Slaughter's up there. I wear my sunglasses at night, like total cradle, feel like vampire, like blood. Like, it was cool as fuck. It was phenomenal shit. And one of the shits, unfortunately, Phantom Slaughter was nowhere to be found, very much recluse, which is kind of what I expected. But the day of Phil Togus to sign Blue Nothing and
Wait, that's his stage name, Phantom Slaughter?
Yeah, that's his black metal name, Phantom Slaughter.
God, they're just lining up to blow him after the show, but
I got to meet Phil Togus, really cool. I love his work in A Tremendous Cathedralist, First Fragment. He's in a fuck ton of bands. Void Ceremony, Funibrom, but very cool dude. I forgot to bring my Cathedralist A Tremendous ship. I will be seeing Cathedralist in May in Worcester and at MDF, so I'll get my shit signed. But very cool dude. Then after that, I finally got to see fucking Devil Master after like three fucking years. And
I bet they were really fucking killer. Awesome.
They were fucking awesome. I enjoyed them a lot. And actually, I saw my buddy Connor there. I'd seen in a while. So honestly, I was watching them and talking to them at the same time. So it was really killer time. And Holder was very good. A little boring live, I'm not going to lie. They're honestly the most least interesting band on the bill. They're the most traditional. So very good. But honestly,
if you recall, Bog said something similar when he saw them at the True Festival about a year
ago. I mean, maybe, he was definitely correct in that. I definitely think, like, they're like the only black metal band on the bill. It would be interesting. But we have like three very different, eclectic, great bands, and then you have that. It's just a little underwhelming.
But I think also the fact that it's not a band that's together all the time. Like, I think this is just a touring lineup since it's a one-woman project, essentially. So maybe that chemistry is just not, you know.
Yeah, that could be, because the last tour they did here was a different lineup, so that might be it. But I will say, though, the new song, the songs I liked at the last record, they pretty much all of them, and they all sounded great live. So if you've never seen them live, I would recommend seeing them. But I also stick to the records. I'm not going to my way to see them again. Personal, unless you're trying to great bill, they happen to be on. But
I want to go back to Devil Master, because I think I find their look funny, because like three quarters of the band are like the crusty black metal punk vibe with the denim with fucking vests and shit, and then the one guy in corpse paint
with like the cape.
It's very much you have to take your little brother with you vibes in the corner.
And then the guitarist, the one with the mustache, looks like he's from the band Boston with the fucking Jufro with the 70s porn stash.
Yes.
It was also a bit, very, very cool guy. But it was a great bill. I think it's like two more dates left. But definitely all those bands, especially were fucking definitely the standout of the tour. Super biased on my part. But hopefully Headliner they do later this year, next year. Because I need a 90-minute set. 35 minutes is not enough time. What about yourself?
So I went and recently checked out this Mantar, Halo Effect, and Meshuggah show. I don't really have a whole lot to say about Mantar just because I didn't see it. But I was a big fan of the Halo Effect, the super group consisting of members. I think
it's Mikhail Stan.
Yeah. In Flames, think Dark Tranquility and a couple other bands that are in there. Maybe a little bit on the lighter side. Like, it's not super heavy. It's definitely more like a sing-songy melodic death metal.
Pretty.
Yeah, very Insomnium type of mellow death. Emphasis on the mellow, less so on the death. But it was a really, it was an entertaining performance, and they seemed to get a, they seemed to really enjoy playing in front of the crowd, even though the crowd was not that impressive until Meshuggah came on. There was definitely a change in energy when the headliner came on. So I was a little disappointed for the Halo Effect in that sense, but they didn't seem to mind. Solid performance. First time seeing them. I probably wouldn't go out of my way to see them again, but I was glad that I did see them. And like seeing them on like a festival, you know, if you, you read the name, I would definitely see it, but I'm not driving 6 hours to see this. No.
It's the Halo Effect. Holy fuck. We got to go now, babe.
Yeah.
Don't forget the car.
I need a little bit more fist pumping in my melodic death metal. Like when I think mellow death, I think like, you know, At the Gates or even now In Flames, since they were so killer live and with a great record.
Dude.
Or fucking the Black Dahlia Murder, shit like that. So a little prettier. There was definitely
Man.
Yeah,
new records down Black Dahlia, man. Stoked for that shit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll be talking about it for sure, and I'll see them at Brutal Assault in just a few short months. But Meshuggah, the last time I saw Meshuggah, speaking of the Black Dahlia Murder, it was directly following the Black Dahlia Murder, and yeah, I was it there was as well. You were in a state, might I add.
Yes, such
a different vibe. You come off of the Black Dahlia Murder, where you have these epic choruses and really plastic, blistering pace, and then Meshuggah, this really slowed down, monotonous. I recall leaving early. I think I left after like six songs. I'm like, repeat, like, you know, you have like Warborn or I Will Return as the final track.
Yeah.
Yes. And then Meshuggah is just totally different vibe. And in my opinion, I wasn't vibing with it at the time. And this time, I don't know, maybe it was the songs they played, the set list. Maybe it's just because there wasn't that incredible high right beforehand. I really enjoyed Meshuggah this time around. It was pretty cool. Didn't find it quite as a letdown. So having a band like the Halo Effect before that, that wasn't like, okay, I'm satisfied with the show now. Beforehand really worked out. Finally got to see them play Bleed, which was really nice. I was hoping for more shit off of Koloss. I was hoping for like
maybe I was gonna ask if they did anything with Koloss.
Not really. One track. I was hoping for more of like Behind the Sun or I Am the Colossus, but alas, none of that.
Did they play Destroy Race and Prove?
I don't think so, no. A really great light.
Sorry. Future Breeding Machine. Outside of the foul.
Really great light show and, you know, super, super heavy. The band doesn't move all that much either. They just kind of all stand in place and do the same nod in place. But whatever. The music kind of calls for that, I suppose. Solid show. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Would attend again, especially since it was a Christmas present to me and I didn't pay any money to see it. So cool shit. Secondly, I was just at this local metal festival here in Prague called Creatures Meet. It was 2 days in a row, but I really only attended on Saturday. Like I showed up for the last band on Friday and it was pretty generic thrash metal. Sorry, guys. But Saturday was pretty cool. Got to see this band Faust become acquaintances with one of their members here in the last few weeks. And they're actually very, very surprisingly good. I wasn't expecting them to be this good. Very, very tight. Great stage presence. You can actually find them on Spotify. Tier 5 band, 433 monthly listeners. Check that shit out. But real thrash metal with elements of death metal thrown in there for good measure. Real fun listen. It's not reinventing the wheel, but it's not trying to be. So if you like shit like, I don't know, Midnight with a little bit of harsher vocals, I think you would really enjoy that band, Faust. The whole night was headlined by this band called Hentai Corporation, which is apparently super, super popular here in the Czech Republic. There are quite avant-garde. Some of it's a little metal, some of it's kind of jazz, and some of it's just like off the wall. And the band members kind of look that way too. They definitely have this too cool for school vibe, maybe unearned in my opinion, but still really entertaining, I would say. I just remember being in the crowd and people being like, oh man, this is like different air, rarefied air now that this band's on. I'm like, oh, okay. So I was expecting to just be blown away. Like, it was cool. I thought Faust was cooler. I am
simply the best.
Yeah. There was also this band Creatures that played as well, and this other band called Tor. All really solid, but definitely the highlight of the night was Faust for me. And while I cannot report on it because I have not seen it, Enslaved and Wayfarer is tomorrow, and I am quite excited. And Cattle Decapitation is on Saturday, and Yamba Bomb is next Monday. So the packed month of March continues. I could see Orbit Culture next week too, but I just don't know if I would go to three shows in a row, Cattle, Orbit, and then Yamba Bomb. So might skip that one, just go with Yamba Bomb. And then I guess in April, there's that Marduk and Origin.
Origin, that's a killer lineup.
As well as Carnifex and Revocation, which I should have just said Revocation because that's what we're going for here.
They were so bad. Well, last I saw Black Holly, Trevor Wooster, they were main support, and I could have their smoked cigarettes at their entire 45 minutes.
Revocation?
No, it was...
Carnifex?
Black Dahlia, Carnifex, Chelsea.
Oh, I thought you were shitting on Revocation at first. I was like, no, dude.
No, I'm not shitting on that.
Dave Davidson fucking rips.
No. Just had to sit in Carnifex, not be able to go out. It was fucking torture, dude.
No, it might be a good time for me to, I get to watch the not headliner and get home early. It's like, okay, I'm satisfied. Like, I'm not watching an hour and 20 minutes of Carnifex. I'm just not. Sorry.
All right. There's not enough drugs and liquor in the fucking universe.
I mean, there definitely is, but like better things I could be doing. Anyway, that's the shows that I've seen, we'll be seeing. Let's go ahead and get into our reviews part of the podcast now. Let's start off with Traveler, the newest band. Traveler comes to us from both the United States and from Canada. They're signed to No Remorse Records. If you had to slap a genre on them, you could just say heavy metal or new wave or British heavy metal or diet thrash, as our own Mr. Donahue described them to me off air. I was a big fan of their record from 2020 called Termination Shock. Songs like Street Machine and Starbreaker is just epic, fist pumping, huge choruses. Everything you'd expect from new wave of British heavy metal was present on that record. The guitar tone, the vocals, a little bit of a pastiche effect, you could say. Definitely wasn't reinventing the wheel and had no intention of ever deviating from a tried and true formula. Well, now the band is back with a new record called Prequel to Madness. And while I can't say that they've deviated from that sound, that tried and true new wave of British heavy metal sound, there are some differences here. Like the guitar tone is a little dirtier. The vocals aren't quite as soaring falsetto-y types that you would come to expect. Maybe
a little more restrained, for sure.
Yeah, a little heavier. Maybe. I don't want to dominate the air here. Let's just get right into it. Richard, give me your initial thoughts on Prequel to Madness.
Well, I actually got to see these guys last year at Stormare Fest, so I listened to their 2020 record, which I enjoyed again, but I was told they were thrashness. I was a little put off, like, this is like there's a little thrash in here. But now I've said after hearing them, because I was outside partying, but not still listening, now I realize you're just an old school traditional metal band. This new record I like quite a bit because I knew what I was getting into. And I think the production is a little better. It's more slightly modern, whereas the previous record was a little more kind of old school production. So I think that's better. The songs, it's tight performances all around. Both the vocalist sounds fantastic. And live, you can't pull this off, I can say 100% certainty. And very cool dude. I got to talk to him as well for quite a while. Cool guy as well, but it's a really solid killer metal album, a traditional no bullshit, no frills record.
I think solid is a great way of putting it. It's interesting that on the same episode we're also going to be reviewing a Judas Priest record, obviously a band this band worships and takes a lot of cues from, but Judas Priest is still very much the master, and this band is still very much the student. Not that you would expect, you know, 10 out of 10 iconic, groundbreaking heavy metal from a neo new wave of British heavy metal band. It is essentially worship music, but it's still not anything that's going to blow you away. But there are some really fun tracks on here. I was a big fan of Take the Wheel, Mayday, and The Law. Although, special shout out to No Fate and Prequel to Madness, the final track on here. Yes. It's 9 songs and 38 minutes. So it definitely doesn't stick around any longer than it needs to. Most of the songs are sub 5 minutes, except for the last one, which is a little bit over 7. And there's only one song over 5 minutes. Other than that, everything else kind of hangs out in the 3 to 4 minute range. So it definitely gets in, gets out, does its business. And I think that's a real strength for the record.
Yeah, definitely. The songs that really stood out were Dark Skull, Rebels of Earth, Heavy Hearts, and the title track as well. And Vagrant Times, honestly, yeah, the whole record's very killer solid, but there is some blending songs kind of in the middle, we'll say that. They don't stand out as much as I'd like. But again, you just want to, you know, pop a very digestible, old school sounding metal record. You can do worse than this. And it's definitely one of the better ones for sure.
I was kind of hoping that there would be the really epic single or like the song that really stands out, like Starbreaker or Street Machine did on Termination Shock. But there's just a bunch of like really solid tracks here. There's not one that really elevates itself to be the standout track on here. There's no, so I guess in that way, there is a slightly diminished sense of epicness that the previous record, yeah, Termination Shock has, that I do miss a little bit here. And maybe that was on purpose, like I said, with the more restrained vocal performance as well as the less bombastic guitar tone. Leads are still pretty killer, though, pretty much what you'd expect. Yes. Met my expectations, but did not exceed them. I would give this record a 3.5 out of 5.
I'll do 3.6.
Okay, 7.1 for Prequel to Madness by Traveler. Definitely check this band out if you're a fan of new wave of British heavy metal, that classic heavy metal sound. However,
yes,
I would highly recommend starting off with 2020's Termination Shock. That's just me.
Agreed.
Moving over to the opposite end of the spectrum, sonically speaking, Lord Dying is back with the second album in a planned trilogy. This one is entitled Clandestine Transcendence. Now, we had reviewed the first track, The Universe is Weeping, I guess a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago on the podcast. And it really piqued my interest because I was not overly familiar with Lord Dying before hearing that. But I'm really, really, really glad that I did, because this band is very interesting. They're signed to MNRK Heavy. This album actually came out end of January, so we're actually getting to this a little bit late. But I've been wanting to talk about it with you guys because I think this is a record that really deserves to have a spotlight shown on it. Yeah. Richard, you had mentioned that you had real Crack the Sky vibes by Mastodon. And I have to say, I really agree with that, which is a fantastic album to be compared to.
Yes.
Peak Mastodon is quite the high praise. And this album definitely deserves it. I think this is a little bit of Crack the Sky meets The Hunter, to use another Mastodon analogy right there. There is definitely some poppier elements. Mm-hmm. But the progressive rock and the progressive metal is here in droves. But what really sets this band apart is that it's not afraid to diversify what it's trying to do here, whether it's with the clean female vocals or, in the case of a track like Facing the Incomprehensible, just outright bringing in blast beats and a real death metal vibe. Richard, Give me your thoughts here.
There's a lot going on this record. Jewel said, it's a very dense record, but the one thing I'll say, it's never boring. If there's a part you don't like, you're like, Della, there's another part coming up that's going to really hook you in. And it's an hour long, 12 songs, but it holds your interest the whole way, and definitely requires more flexibility.
You had mentioned that this is the second part in a trilogy. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I was unaware of this.
Yeah, this second part of the first part of the first album for 2019 of the trilogy is called Mysterium Tremendum. It's one of those deep things about life and death, the cycle of rebirth, you know, all this deep meta shit. And I believe Mysterium Tremendum is more the life part, and this is the death part of the trilogy. So, and I believe they're already, from what I was reading, they're already working on the third album, the final part of the trilogy already. So,
did you hear that record from 2019 at all, or is this your first like foray into the band, as it is for me?
Oh yeah, no, this is my first foray. I've heard a single or two from their first record. What was that? 2013, Summon the Faithless. I heard like a song or two off that. I was just seeing them open up for a Weed Eater back in 2013 in Siberia, but we missed them. So this is my, but they play around here. I will definitely go see them. I looked two or days, nothing around here, but after this record, I definitely have to see this shit live for fucking sure.
Yeah, it's this band definitely deserves their flowers for one, experimentation, and two, making a record that's an hour long that doesn't actually feel like it's an hour long. And there's some really hefty song lengths on here. Got tracks that are over 8 minutes, some over six, but the band never gets overly indulgent in any one particular style. And I like the fact how it ranges from these really weepy, moody slide guitar intros that you would hear in something like The Universe is Weeping. And then can also have like a really grim, guttural sound with blast beats on Facing the Incomprehensible and a lot of other things in between, whether it's increased tempos that are, almost remind you of some thrash metal or some really doomed out parts as well. The band has got range, not just vocally, but instrumentally as well. And I think it's a real feather in their cap. Some of my favorite tracks are the first one, The Universe is Weeping, as well as I Am Nothing, I Am Everything.
Yep.
Also a big fan of Dancing on the Emptiness and the aforementioned Facing the Incomprehensible, by far the heaviest track on here. And also special shout out to track 11, Swimming in the Absence. What standout tracks would you mention, Richard?
See, Push into the Sun, I enjoyed a lot. A Bond Broken by Death. And I think the something I have with every record, even if it's like a generic or shitty record, like at least have a great opener and a great closer. I feel the close, The Endless Road Home, kind of really encompasses the record. It just gives it a great send off.
It also has a great opening too, so that's, this totally tracks with the opening and closing strongly. I'm gonna give this record a 4 out of 5.
I'm gonna the same, actually. This is a great record. Really dig deep this record. This definitely be on my top 10, or at least an honorable mention. This say some sick shit.
It could definitely find itself in the running. Clandestine Transcendence from Lord Dying gets an 8 out of 10 from us here at the Fundamentalist Podcast. Our final review of the day comes to us from Heavy Metal Masters.
Yes.
Judas Priest. They are back with their latest album entitled Invincible Shield. We had discussed their single Crown of Thorns on previous podcasts. It's the mid-tempo, more driving Judas Priest
sound.
Kind of reminds me of like, reminds me a little bit of British Steel. And much
Head
like
the British Highway, Steel.
Yeah.
Some shit like that.
Much like those aforementioned albums, this one could be a certified classic because Invincible Shield fucks. From the very opening track, Panic Attack, which is very reminiscent of the Painkiller vibes, to the title track, Invincible Shield, and almost every single one that comes after it, you're going to find yourself nodding along. Ferocious riffs. Rob still sounds fucking fantastic. And
it's like 7-2, still killing it, dude. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, he sounds amazing. Every style of Judas Priest, every form of Judas Priest that they have had in the past is visible in some way, shape, or form on this record. It's a great homage to themselves while also announcing to the rest of the world that they're not resting on their laurels and they're still putting out killer shit. Richard.
Look at you, Iron Maiden.
Hey, Send You 2 was good. Send You 2 was good.
I'm sure it was fine, but just because you write a 10-minute song with like 500 fucking chorus repeats and 20 guitar solos, so say something fucking progressive. But whereas Priest has actually developed and, you know, changed styles and then incorporated that into their classic sound. And I'm gonna go so far as say, and you know, create a modern masterpiece here. Like at first, when I first announced like Priest record, okay, that's, you know, list the single, like Panic Attack, wow, this is really fucking good. You know, Trial by Fire, this is really fucking good. Crowd of Horns, oh fuck, this is really goddamn good. And
yeah, there's about three by the time I reached, I think, track four or five, when I realized that I've really, really liked every song I've heard so far. It's like, is this album a banger? Yes. Oh, yes, it is.
Straight banger. I mean, you have, as God's Witness, one of the best songs. That's very much the Painkiller style. You have Escape from Reality, which is more like the single kind of radio rockish song. Even however, there's like a underwater vocal effect, which actually really works in the song. I'm very nitpicky about the shit, as y'all know, but kills it. Sons of Thunder, like the biker song. The Closure, Giant Sky, very groovy and shit. Devil in Disguise is kind of a great hard rocker. The epic, you know, Invincible Shooter, like, you know, unite, you know, arm in arm through metal brothers and sisters type of vibe going on. Like, again, it's everything love about Priest. This is my favorite fucking record this year. It's, I cannot sing this album's praise enough.
Yeah, Serpent, you forgot Serpent and the King, also huge.
Serpent and the King, yeah. Huge, great. Yeah, it was also my least favorite of the singles, but hearing it in context, the record, it's phenomenal. Much like the Angry Seeping Storm off the newest Java Cow record, the single, I didn't really care for, but hearing it in context, the record, okay, this fucks. It totally goes along with the rest of the album and kicks ass.
You know, it's a good sign when you constantly are taking your phone back out of your pocket to add the song you're listening to the liked songs. Like, okay, this is killer. And I found myself doing that every single song almost. It's like,
I actually went and bought this. Like here last night, I actually went and bought a record that came out. I actually bought this from a Newberry Comics, which is essentially like a FYE for the Northeastern area. I went and bought this record. And there is a bonus track. The Target edition has three songs. I didn't get that version. I haven't heard them. I think you have, Duel.
Yeah, there are three tracks, Fight for Your Life, Vicious Circle, and The Lodger. Fight for Your Life and Vicious Circle are perfectly serviceable, but you can kind of tell why they were bonus tracks. However, the last track, The Lodger, I was a big fan of, and I think it could have easily slotted itself onto the main record. Not sure I would remove any other track for it, but I wouldn't necessarily say I would get rid of this track either. I don't know. I guess it's a good idea to include a reason for people to want to buy the deluxe edition instead of just being like, okay, these are definitely the fucking throwaway B-sides, but not at all. Really good stuff. You mentioned Iron Maiden earlier, and maybe it's just the introduction of new blood into this band that has had to happen. You know, Richie Faulkner joining after the unamicable release of KK Downing leaving the band. So
yeah, that was all stink. Actually, KK's band's tour now. Actually, KK's Priest with Ripper, which I forgot, they dropped a new record last year. I like the first band's new ones even better, so I didn't need to check out the second KK's Priest record, because apparently they're like a mix of like half KK's Priest song and the half Judas Priest classics. And Ripper was in Priest, so he could obviously play the fucking song. So I stir. You know, the way there was politics, Rim's a person. Ripper is a fantastic fucking vocalist. So,
yes, he is. And actually, Ripper is actually on a 1 second.
He was on Bar Rescue. He was on episode of that actually. And then, like 4 months later, that bar closed down.
Who was KK or Ripper?
No, Ripper, him and his buddy, they had a bar. And they were on the Bar Rescue with that, you know, big Italian dude, and they closed like 4 months later after that fucking episode aired.
So you mentioned Ripper Owens, and he actually is a guest on this album from the band Saint Renaissance. There's a track called Saint Meets Priest that he guests on, which is pretty cool. Highly recommend you listen to this record, by the way. This almost made my what we've been listening to, but I didn't want to overly bloat it. Anyway, just thought I would shout that out. Back to the Judas Priest. For the score, there's really nothing bad I can say about this record. From start to finish, this one really gets its hooks into you and doesn't let go. Even more impressive when you think that it's 11 tracks, 52 minutes, so it's not exactly a brief listen, but I never once was bored or thought it was starting to lull or thought maybe this really needs to wrap up. Just banger after banger. If anything, I wanted to restart songs again because they were just that good. Starting off with Panic Attack and The Serpent and the King, just killer. I also want to shout out As God Is My Witness, Sons of the Thunder, Giants in the Sky, and Crown of Horns. But I could also say Invincible Shield, and that's goddamn near the entire record.
Yeah, Devil Disguise, a great chorus, Gates Hell's killer. I think we're talking about every fucking song. This is a banger. This is a straight banger. Priest throwing the gauntlet down, like, don't count us out, motherfuckers. Bam. Look at you, Maiden. How about you go? Maiden went back to, you know, their old school style. They might get the fans back as well. So
it's really nice to see Priest string together multiple awesome records, because 2018's Firepower was also pretty killer.
Yes.
And I liked Redeemer of Souls as well, although there was quite a gap between that one and this one. So
I listened to that one. I haven't listened to Redeemer of Souls. Yeah, I heard a song or two, but I never sat, like, listened to the whole thing. But I heard good shit about it. And Firepower was good too, but I feel like this is once more consistent. Because I felt Firepower was a little too long. And there's definitely a song or two I felt they could have cut from Firepower, in my opinion.
Redeemer of Souls was really nice because it was the first record after the epic Nostradamus concept record that they did. So, So these last three records, especially Firepower and this one, Invincible Shield, are a real return to form. It's tough to say that this new record belongs up there with albums like Painkiller or British Steel, but it doesn't not belong up there. I think the songs on here are every bit of the same quality. It really just needs time to have its legacy cemented. 4.5 out of 5 for me. Killer record. Almost assuredly going to be in the top 10 at the end of the year.
Oh, fucking easily. I'm going to do 4.8.
4.8? Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to go full heathen.
It's a 10. Years ago. Invincible Shield, Judas Priest gets a 9.3 from the Fundamentalist Podcast. Yeah. One of the higher scores we've given out here in a long time. And for damn good reason. Check out this record if you have not. Whether you're a Priest fan or not, it's just a damn good time.
Metal, future classic right here. Check this out, kids. It's fucking god tier. Masterclass. Heavy goddamn metal.
And it's important to mention that, like you said, Rob's 72 years old. Still sounds fucking amazing. Still looks amazing, too. Obviously looks after himself. But you could never take that for granted, because, you know, when people are getting old, you know, maybe this is the last Priest record. I hope not, because especially if the band is firing on all cylinders like they are right now, you'll continue to get great Priest material. But whenever you do get a new record from a classic band, it should be, you know, cherished, appreciated, especially when it's this good, because more is not guaranteed. Happy, you love to see it. Any final words for the listeners, my friend?
Have a happy St. Patty's Day and drive safe out there.
Or don't. It's more metal.
Yeah. Wrap the tree. Metal as fuck.
We might have to cut that one out, ladies and gentlemen. With that being said, thank you for listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast. Let us know what you thought about us by sending us a line at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com or by hitting us up on Instagram or on Facebook. Or you can also talk to us on Spotify. Doesn't matter where, we would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. We will speak with you next time.